There we go. Well, good morning, children. It is a blessing to be here again. I think that the last time I preached before this congregation, I want to ask your forgiveness. I think I lied to you. I think I said I thought I had a hiatal hernia, and it was not a life-threatening condition. That I wanted to preach as a dying man to dying men, and little did I realize what a dying man I was, because it was like 3 days after that that I basically dropped dead of that cardiac arrest. And it's really a miracle of the Lord that He brought me back after 26 minutes of being out. And I'm so thankful to God. And I'm so thankful that I can be with you this morning, and especially it's a great privilege for me to have what is perhaps the most important message of the day, and that is the children's lesson. Do we realize, brethren, that sitting here in front of us is the future of the church of Jesus Christ? Oh, this is so important. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I do thank you. Jesus, I thank you that when the children came to you, you said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. We pray your blessing on these children. And I pray for your help today to speak the truth in love, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, I have a very good helper with me today, and that is my wife. On Good Friday, we have kind of a family tradition at our house. The children of Israel were told to do certain things in remembrance. And on Good Friday, we do something in remembrance. We fast in the morning, and we meditate, we think about Jesus and His suffering. Sometimes it's hard for the children. A little child might come up to you and say, Daddy, can I have a cracker? Well, let's just think of the suffering of Jesus. And we have that time when we read through the scriptures, and then in the evening, we have a nice meal. And this Good Friday, we had my daughter and her children came over. She has a bunch of little children. We have grandchildren over, and we have this story. Feet washing and communion in our family on that time in remembrance. But what I shared this message, maybe you can lift that up a little more, with the children, and they liked it. So I'm bringing this message to you today, and I want you to remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming. Does anybody remember what John the Baptist said? Does anybody remember? Amen. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now that seems kind of odd, doesn't it, children? Why would John call Jesus the Lamb of God? Well, the story behind that goes way back to around 1445 BC, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this was such an important time that the children of Israel were told to remember this every year. And they called it the Passover. But first, we go back to the book of Exodus. And we see here that God sent Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, who was the ruler of Egypt? What did they call him? Somebody help me. Pharaoh. Very good. And God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." But Pharaoh, he was a proud king. He did not want to let the children of Israel go out of their slavery. And so God was going to bring 10 different plagues on these people until they finally said, "Go." Well, the first plague was blood. And the Lord spake unto Moses, "Say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone." So Aaron stretched out his rod, and that great river, the Nile River, was turned to blood. And the fish died. And it was a horrible thing. And the Egyptians had to go around digging, trying to get water. This was just a terrible thing. But for all that, after 7 days, God let it go and cleaned the river again. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So the next plague. And the Lord spake unto Moses, "Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs." Frogs. It was terrible. Frogs started to come up, and he said, "And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and unto thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs." Frogs all over. Wouldn't that be terrible? Just covered with frogs. Well, they pleaded, say, "Oh, Moses, tell your God, please take those frogs away." Well, God did. He took the frogs away. But you know what? As soon as the plague was over, Pharaoh's heart was hardened again. "Nope, I'm not letting you go." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Say unto Aaron, stretch thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." Lice. Now, have you ever heard of lice? It's terrible. It's they're like little crawly things. And can you just imagine what it'd be like? They're there, and all of a sudden they start itching. Oh. And somebody goes up to his friend, "Hey, Ali, what is it?" "Well, I'm itching all over. What is it?" "Ali, you got crabs." "What? Lice?" "Yes, they're all over you. Stay away from me." And then all of a sudden, "I'm itching too. Oh, they're all over me. Oh, and they're all over the other people too. This is terrible. Oh, Pharaoh, tell Moses to tell his God, take these lice away." And Moses would call on God, and the lice went away. Pharaoh's heart was hardened again. And then came the plague of flies. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are." Now, how many of you live on the farm? There's a lot of flies on a farm. They're kind of bothersome. But this was something worse. These were swarms of flies coming in. They were just swarming. Even so much that they would just step on him when they walked. It was horrible. They could just hardly talk. Ooh, it gets in my mouth. Oh, this is terrible. Please, Moses, tell your God to take the flies away. And when Moses would cry out to God and take the flies away, Pharaoh's heart was hard again. No, I'm not letting you go. Well, this went on. There was a plague on beasts where all their cattle died. And then, here's an interesting one. The next one was, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send now, therefore, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. Hail. Do you know what hail is? What is it? Yeah, it's like little ice balls, but these were going to be like big ice balls. So big and so heavy and coming down so fast that they could kill you. They could kill a man. They could kill a cow. This was so bad. And then we start to see the mercy of God here, even on the Egyptians who would fear him. It says, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Hey, Ali, this Moses says hail is coming. It's going to kill everybody. We got to get out of the field. No, I don't fear this God of Moses. I'm going to stay in the field with my cattle. Well, I fear the God of Israel. I'm going to the shed, and I'm taking my cattle with me. See ya. Or maybe I won't see ya. And those who feared God took their cattle in. Those who didn't fear God, all of a sudden the sky got dark. Thunder. Lightning. And the fire ran along the ground, and hail came down, and those people died. And their cattle died. And then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Well, Moses called on the Lord, and it stopped. But you know what? Pharaoh lied to him again. Wouldn't let the people go. Well, there were boils, locusts, the ninth plague, darkness. Whoa, this was a really... said there would be darkness 3 days in all the land of Egypt. What would that have been like to wake up in the morning? Hey, Ali, it's time to wake up. No, it's not. It's still dark out. Well, the hourglass says it's 9 o'clock. We slept in. No, it's dark. Well, this is weird. 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, it's noonday. It's still dark. What's going on? For 3 days in darkness, even a darkness that could be felt. And still Pharaoh would not let the people go. And then God said, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out altogether. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight, I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant, that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. Then he said, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It wasn't supposed to be just a bad lamb. It was supposed to be a spotless lamb. And they were to take that lamb, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So they were to take a lamb, a spotless, pure lamb, and they were to gather their families together in their house, and then they were to slay the lamb. Now, how many of you have ever seen a little lamb? You like lambs? I really like lambs. I wouldn't like to see one killed, really. That's one reason I don't raise sheep. It would just be too hard to kill them. But this was to be a spotless lamb. But they were to take and kill the lamb. And they were to take the blood from that lamb. See that? They were to take the blood from that lamb, and they were to put it on their doorposts. They were to put it on the side. On the sides of that doorpost, and then they were to put it on the lintel, that blood of the lamb was to be put there. And then they were to stay in their house. Now, can you just be with me for a moment? What would it be like for those children to sit there in the house together with their daddy, and the night is getting dark? And as the night gets dark, all of a sudden, what is it, Dad? What is it? I don't know. Let me look. It's our Egyptian neighbor, Ali. What is it, Ali? What's the matter, Ali? Oh, my son is dead. Oh, children, this is terrible. Oh, stay here. Stay under the blood of the lamb. As they sat there in the dark, in the night. Oh! What is it, Dad? What is it? Oh. It's our other neighbor. It's Mohammed. Mohammed, what's the matter? Oh, my firstborn son is dead. Oh, this is terrible. And then the children might have been sitting there. Dad, this is terrible. They're dying all around us. Dad, let's get out of here. Dad, let's get out of here. No. No, son, don't. Stay under the blood of the Lamb. Don't leave the house of God. Stay under the blood of the Lamb. Well, that was a night greatly to be remembered. And the children of Israel were to remember that night, because that night, when God saw the blood on their doorposts, he would pass over, and the children of Israel were safe. Not one of them died. And God brought them out. In the morning, the Egyptians said, go, please go. Take our gold, take our jewels. Go, get out of here. We all be dead. Go. Well, they were to remember that. And then something happened nearly 1,500 years after that. The descendants of this same family, the children of Israel, were gathering together to remember this feast of the Passover. And Jesus was with his disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem. And he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body." His disciples might say, "What does he mean by this?" And then he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." Well, what does he mean by this? We've come here, Jesus, we've come here to celebrate the Passover when the Lamb was slain to save us. What do you mean, Jesus? You see, they didn't realize what Jesus knew, that Jesus Christ was about to become the ultimate sacrifice. And this Passover was going to be more important even than the first Passover. Because through this Passover, God was not only going to save the Jews, but he was going to save anyone on earth who would believe, who would turn from their sins and believe on this Lamb of God. I want to show you something here. Now watch this. Can you hold that up? I want you to see a parallel here. Because this is why God had Jesus come to Jerusalem at the very time of the Passover. Do you see something here? Do you see this? On the side of the doorpost, his hands were nailed. They had taken a crown of thorns and beat it into his head. And there was blood at the foot of the cross where they nailed his feet to the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is why John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus, that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, children, I heard something that happened last week. You see, it seems that this world is getting more and more hostile to the believers of Jesus, the followers of this Lamb of God. And I heard that last week over in Kenya, in Africa, some Muslim terrorists came to a school. And there were students at that school. And they went to the students and said, "Are you a Muslim or are you a Christian?" Well, the ones who were said Muslims, they were okay. But the ones who said, "I'm a Christian," they took and they murdered him. They murdered him. Now, I can think that maybe some of those students, maybe they would like the children of Israel. Maybe they're saying, "Look, Dad, they're dying. They're dying all around us. Maybe we should just say we're Muslims." No. Children, no. Stay under the blood of the Lamb. Don't leave the house of God, even if they kill you for being a Christian. And you are the generation that may have to face this kind of a thing. Do not leave the house of God. Do not go after other gods, even if they kill you. Be a Christian. Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, he said something to this church at Smyrna, because they were going to go through something that was very hard. And he said to the church at Smyrna, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And then he said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So, children, the message of the Passover: Jesus is the way of salvation. be thou faithful unto death, and God will give you a crown of life. Thank you. Okay, you children may sit down now. You may go to your parents.